Earlier this month, the Senate voted to overturn a Biden-era mining ban in the 225,000-acre watershed surrounding the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in northeastern Minnesota. And this week, President Trump signed that resolution into law. Wisconsin lawmakers in both chambers voted along party lines. Republicans in the delegation voted to overturn the ban. Democrats voted to sustain it.
The decision paves the way for Chilean-owned company Twin Metals to apply to build a copper and nickel mine in the area. Supporters of the idea hope for a boom in jobs. Critics worry about pollution and contamination of the Boundary Waters and an economic impact on tourism and recreation.
Wisconsinites make up a large portion of people who flock there every year to paddle, camp, fish, and enjoy nature.
Dan Crocker is a news reporter from Minnesota Public Radio. Based in Duluth, he covers the people, economy, and environment of northeast Minnesota. He's been following this story for a good 15 years now. Dan, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Rob.
Well, people in Wisconsin, many of them are going to be very familiar with the Boundary Waters. Some aren't, though. Can you briefly paint us a picture of this area and why it's significant?
Yeah, it's a million-acre federally protected wilderness on the border between Minnesota and Canada. It's the most popular wilderness area in the country. About 150,000 people go there every year. It's well known to be a wilderness canoe destination. It's a pretty remarkable landscape of interconnected lakes and rivers, crystal clear, pristine waters, amazing fishing, and really an incredibly unique and beloved area.
The Senate just voted to overturn this Biden-era ban on mining in the watershed near the Boundary Waters. What does that mean for the potential for mining in that region?
Well, that restarts the process where mining companies can submit plans to mine in this area that was covered by the mining ban. And it's a little confusing. Already, mining is not allowed in the Boundary Waters and in a small buffer zone around the Boundary Waters. What this ban did was it banned mining on about 225,000 acres. That's about 350 square miles of land within the watershed of the Boundary Waters. It's a big area of the Superior National Forest, just kind of south of the wilderness. What that means is that if there were mining there, what environmental and conservation groups have long argued is that because it's in the watershed, that means potential water pollution from these copper nickel mines could flow northward and westward into the Boundary Waters and beyond into Voyageurs National Park and up into Canada. So that's the big concern, that pollution, even though the mining would be outside the wilderness area because it's in the watershed, that it could flow into that wilderness area and contaminate some of the waters there.
And this legislation, sponsored by a lawmaker from Minnesota, supported by some business and labor interests. What are you hearing as the arguments in favor of ending this protection for the watershed and opening the door to possible mining?
Well, a couple things. I mean, one, this area where within the watershed is also where this incredibly rich resource of minerals is, called the Duluth Complex. So there's a lot of potential for copper nickel mining. What advocates would say is a huge opportunity for economic development. There's a long history of mining already up in Minnesota with iron ore. So they see this as sort of a second potential mining boom. And also, these metals are important for electric vehicle batteries, all kinds of green technologies as well. And then they also say that there's a process in place already, that Minnesota has a process where mining companies can submit their plans, and then it goes through a rigorous environmental review and permitting process. And they're saying that mines should be allowed to enter that process. If their plans don't pass muster, then they shouldn't go forward. But if they do, that they should have the chance to open these mines.
You mentioned that tradition of iron mining in that part of Minnesota, also parts of northern Wisconsin as well.
Yep.
I've seen some environmentalists say, well, hang on, there's mining, then there's mining. There's something about the particular type of ore, the process that would be used, that they say would make it more risky. Can you compare and contrast for us?
Absolutely. So that is true, and that's a big point of contention here. This kind of mining is called copper nickel mining for these kinds of metals that are bound up in sulfide ore. And the concern is that when that sulfide-bearing ore is brought up from under the ground and it reacts with air and water, that it can create sulfuric acid and result in what's known as acid mine drainage. And this can leach heavy metals out of the ground and potentially into the water. So it's true, and mining advocates will acknowledge that this kind of mining does carry with it those different kinds of environmental risks. And that's why this has been so controversial, even in northern Minnesota. where there it really is this sort of rich legacy and culture where people are still really proud of the mining heritage, but people are also, this area, as I mentioned up top, is beloved, so people are extraordinarily concerned about the potential pollution impacts on this amazing landscape.
And at the heart of it, it sounds like it's, okay, jobs in mining versus environmental protection, but there's another argument there saying, hey, the environmental purity of the boundary waters is also a big economic driver in the area when it comes to tourism and recreation. What kind of economic interests are on that side of the argument?
This is very true. There has, over the years, you know, since the boundary water was created in 1978, there's been a pretty robust economy based on outdoor recreation that has sprung up in Ely and Grand Marais and all around northern Minnesota. It's not just tourists. It's also lots of people who have relocated, second homeowners there and retirees who have been drawn by this landscape. And there have been studies that shown that this is a pretty incredible economic impact, too. And critics of mining will say that all that is put at risk by this potential mining industry. They'll argue even without the pollution concerns that just a bunch of these mines potentially sort of surrounding the wilderness area could be a detractor to that kind of investment and recreational development.
As you mentioned, there would be a state process before a mine would happen. This federal legislation doesn't mean people are breaking ground tomorrow or anything like that. What would the timeline, acknowledging that there might well be court challenges and things like that, what could be the timeline from now till when somebody started mining if a project were approved?
Right. Good point. I've been telling people that nothing is going to happen overnight. This is going to be a long process. I mean, first, Twin Metals, which is the mine that is closest to developing a project outside Ely on the doorstep of the Boundary Waters, they have to resecure federal permits. Then they have to resubmit a plan that has to go through environmental review and then a permitting process. That takes years and in some cases decades, Rob. I mean, there are a couple other of these copper nickel mine proposals in Minnesota. One of them was proposed 20 years ago, and that they sort of had to go back to the drawing board because of lawsuits, even after they secured their permits initially. So there's a long process still ahead. The state will have ultimate say on whether this goes forward, in addition to federal regulators also having to sign off on any potential mines in this area. So there is a long story yet to be written.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here, Rob.
Dan Crocker is a news reporter from Minnesota Public Radio based in Duluth. He joined us for a look at the Senate's decision to lift a mining ban in northern Minnesota in the area surrounding the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Now to hear how our state fits into the story, we're joined by Johnson Bridgewater, water advocates organizer for River Alliance of Wisconsin and longtime Boundary Waters visitor. Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
This mining project would be taking place in Minnesota, affecting this Minnesota wilderness area. We've heard from Wisconsin listeners, though, who are very interested. Why should people in Wisconsin be paying attention to what's happening over there across the border?
I would start by saying that up north, if you will, northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, the UP, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they all carry a water identity. And the northern region that I'm mentioning, it also has very busy state lines, people traveling across all three of those states daily. I am a perfect example of this. I was born in Minnesota. I work for Wisconsin, but I live on the Montreal River in Michigan. So it is an area that is, as you mentioned, full of special places. The Boundary Waters is a huge one, but you could also name Porcupine Wilderness State Park. You could also name Sylvania Wilderness. You could also name Vilas County, Wisconsin. Those are all places that have in excess of thousands of visitors annually.
What do we know about how popular the Boundary Waters in particular are as a destination for Wisconsinites?
Well, I can tell you this. So there is a massive paddling event in Madison every year called Canoe-copia that Darren Bush puts on. In excess of 10,000 people come to that event. This year, River Alliance participates in this event. This year, we had a map up and we asked people to put push pins in some of their favorite paddling places. So even before this conversation that we were having came up several weeks back, people put their push pins where their pocketbooks are. And Boundary Waters was absolutely one of the top three places that people aggregate to for paddling and recreation.
And for you personally, do you have that personal connection to the Boundary Waters?
Yeah, I do. I think anybody who, whether you're from there or have just spent time there, you hear about it. For me personally, and it's hard to talk about, both my parents passed early. It was a place that my father, who was a zoologist, considered one of the last places in North America that you could truly get to someplace pristine that had not been impacted by settlerism or industry.
Now, the mining company, in this case, Twin Metals, says, hey, even with this approval, we're going to have to meet Minnesota's environmental standards. Those are good enough to protect the waterways. Do you think that, you know, the existing kind of state laws in Minnesota could allow for a mine to successfully be in this watershed on the outside of the boundary waters and have it protected sufficiently?
There was a study by Dr. Stephen Emmerman who looked specifically at mining in wet environments in our region. So he looked at mines in Minnesota, Ontario, Wisconsin, Michigan. All of these mines that operated, they were metallic copper sulfide mines specifically, operating in wet environments. Every mine studied led to some form of water pollution.
What do you want to see? Now, this could be, as we heard from Dan, a multi-year process. What are you hoping to see as this debate continues in our neighbors to the west?
Sure. So I'll actually throw a kind of a unique wrinkle in. One of the bigger aspects that I know that is being talked about in some circles, but maybe not as commonly known, I would love for people to be aware of the wild rice or manumen economy that exists in this exact same region. And underneath that is the layer of treaty hunting and gathering rights that have long been established for the tribes. So what you're looking at is this overlay of uses that have been functioning and doing what they were intended to do for hundreds of years. We would like to see anything that can be done to stop metallic sulfide mining that could potentially impact these water environments.
Johnson, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
That was Johnson Bridgewater, Water Advocates Organizer for River Alliance of Wisconsin and longtime Boundary Waters visitor. Earlier, we heard from Dan Crocker, a news reporter for Minnesota Public Radio based in Duluth. They joined us for a look at the decision to lift a federal mining ban in northern Minnesota. It would affect the area surrounding the Boundary Waters, a popular recreation destination for Wisconsinites. We offered an interview to Twin Metals, but did not receive a response to that request. River Alliance of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio.